From the banks of the Yellowstone River, next to the border of the AB Wilderness, and under the looming ridgelines of the Absaroka Mountains, this is This Week in Yellowstone for the week of January 16th to January 22nd, 2025. All right, how about that for an abrupt ending? Anyway, this week in Yellowstone National Park, we will get some real winter weather in and around the park. I'll also tell you about how some tour guides got in trouble, where to see hoarfrost, and where you should hike if you're hoping to brave the cold and want to potentially see wolf prints in the snow. Stick around and you may just be inspired to spend some time in Yellowstone National Park this week. All right, here's the standard disclaimer. This week, like every week, I will do my best to give you relevant information for your upcoming visit. I may miss a few things and not cover some topics you'd like, but if there's anything you wish to know, please feel free to contact me. I also refer to locations in the park pretty casually, so if you're unfamiliar with the park, you may want to search for some of these things on your favorite search engine. Maybe Bing, maybe Google, maybe Ask. I don't know. DuckDuckGo? Please note that this weekly report is for the current drivable regions of the park only and does not cover the experiences one may have to take a snow coach or snowmobile tour into the interior. If you have questions about those adventures and regions, please contact your tour operator. They should help, and if they don't help, tell them they need to. This week's Yellowstone News. It's been another slow news week in Yellowstone, which is great. As of this morning, which is Wednesday the 15th, for those curious when I record this, the park just released the final visitation numbers for 2024. So in 2024, Yellowstone saw 4,744,352 visitors, which was up 5.4% from 2023. If these numbers are accurate, which they should be ballpark accurate once the park kind of audits them, that puts 2024 as the second most visited year in Yellowstone National Park history. 2021 is the record holder with 4,860,242 visitors. And for the month, those curious, December of 2024 had 30,410 visitors, down 12.52% from December 2023. Later this week, probably over the weekend, I'm going to be releasing an episode breaking down visitation for Yellowstone in 2024. This will cover everything you want to know about park visitation, including the busiest months, the months showing largest growth and popularity, and areas of the park that kind of saw a busier time than others. And I'm also going to talk about an area of recreation that has seen a decline in Yellowstone. The only other real news from last week was when President Joe Biden and the United States Fish and Wildlife Services rejected years-old petitions from multiple Western states to remove the grizzly bear from the list of endangered and threatened species. So how long is this going to last? No idea. I mean, we're going to have a new president by the time I record the next episode. Other than that, the park had to issue a warning to all tour operators, reminding them that stopping on the road is illegal, as is loading and unloading their passengers when stopped on the road. They weren't in a pullout, but on the main road. I may or may not have reported four different companies, well-known ones too, doing exactly that a few weeks back. It sucks to be them, but they shouldn't have been doing that in the first place, as rules are rules. Experience of the week. So this week, the experience I'm recommending, since it's going to be ridiculously cold, is to take a drive by the rivers in the early morning. They should be steaming quite a lot, and if they are steaming and you feel like a small adventure outside, you can go toward the river on a trail and look at the taller grasses and plants. They should be covered with hoarfrost, and hoarfrost is a type of frost that forms when water vapor in the air freezes on surfaces that are already below freezing. It's made up of these tiny ice crystals. They look like white hair or feathers. Sometimes they look like really intricate designs, and it's incredibly gorgeous. You may also see hoarfrost on the sage throughout the park as you're driving around. Definitely stop and get out, especially if you can, at a pullout. And if you're bundled up, you can see, again, amazing designs that are so delicate that even if you breathe on them, they'll then melt. So be very careful of not ruining that experience for other visitors. Talking about the cold brings me to the tip of the week. Bundle up and be prepared. This week's sub-zero lows will be a challenge for visitors and locals alike. The wind should be minimal, but even a slight breeze will drop the wind chill down to dangerously low levels. During stretches of super cold weather like this, we usually get a frostbite warning telling people they may get frostbite on exposed skin if they're out longer than 15 to 20 minutes. Do not assume you will be okay. Bring extra layers, extra socks, extra gloves, and a face covering. This isn't just a warning for people thinking of snowshoeing or skiing. If you get out of your car at all, bundle up a lot. Also have emergency supplies in your car. The list of things you need includes, but is not limited to, extra food and water, a few blankets, extra clothes, a flashlight, extra gloves and hats, and hand warmers. If you do drive off the road because of wintry conditions and get stuck in the park, it will take hours for a tow truck to arrive. Earlier this week, I saw a car off the road at 9 a.m. When I drove by at 3 p.m., the man and his car were still there waiting for a tow truck, which I passed the tow truck coming into the park at Mammoth an hour later. So he would be out there after dark. All right, talking about the weather, so here's the weather for the coming week. This is the main story for the week, and one I'm personally very excited about. Not everyone else enjoys sub-zero temperatures, but I really do. It makes me far too happy. So let's start with the weather forecast for Lamar Valley. Thursday, we'll see highs around freezing, and that is the last time we will see temperatures that high in at least 7 days. Friday, we'll have some snow showers and highs in the low 20s. Saturday, we'll see a high of 11 and a low of negative 11. And Sunday's forecast will be just 8 degrees. So how cold will it be on Sunday? The current forecast is calling for a low temperature of negative 21. Monday will be 7 degrees and then a low of negative 11. Tuesday will be 17 and negative 2. And then Wednesday will be a balmy 25 as a high and a low of 3. These temperatures are Fahrenheit, by the way. Sometimes I will say this and people won't be impressed, but yeah, it's Fahrenheit, not Celsius. For Cook City, use the same forecast, but drop the highs a few degrees. Sunday will be the coldest day out in Cook City, with a high of 3 and a low of negative 22. The hotter temperatures in the area are going to be found outside the park. In Gardner, the weather is very similar to Lamar and Cook City. It'll be warmer in Gardner, but only minimally. Sunday's temperature in Gardner will be 9, with a low of negative 15. The high on Wednesday will be 27, with a low of 5. The forecast I just shared is as of Wednesday, January 15th. It may, and I'm guessing, be substantially colder than the temperature I listed, especially with the slightest of breezes. So with the cold temperature, let's talk about the snowpack. So here's the snowpack update. The snowpack in the park continues to be decent. It isn't great, but it's better than it was last year. We're currently at about 84% of normal in the park based on the last 20 years of snowpack data. If you go back the last 50 years, we are much lower than 84%, but we can't do much about that, so we will only say 20 years. I don't expect the snowpack to increase at all this week. If it does, I mean, it's going to do nothing to bring the numbers up. If it does snow, not if it does change. Obviously, if it changes, it changes. But if it does snow, then it's not going to be a big enough snow. There's only one small round of snow coming in on Friday, and then it's going to be decently clear. So with snow, brings us to roads. Road conditions. The roads this week will be a lot like last week. Most of the park roads have snow on them. There's patches of ice here and there. And I'll be honest with you, the roads a few days ago, I thought were perfectly fine. However, I saw numerous cars lose control and go off the road and get stuck in deep snow. I also saw cars stopped in the roadway around blind corners, on ice and snow, nearly causing serious accidents as they took pictures of elk, bison, and moose. I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but do not stop in the road. Always use a pullout to take a picture. If you can't get a picture of an animal because there's nowhere to stop, enjoy seeing it without a picture. Also, remember that when driving in the park, speeding is not only illegal, but dangerous to you and wildlife. Animals can and will jump out in the road anywhere at any time. Once again, please use the pullouts, especially if you're the slow car and causing a backup. If you're not comfortable driving in the road, let the cars behind you pass. Otherwise, it's going to create an unsafe passing condition. If you're hoping for an up-to-date text up from the park, you can text 82190 to 888-777. That will give you announcements of road closures, alerts, all of those things. You can also call area code 307-344-2117 for recorded information. When you're entering the park, always anticipate possible road closures due to inclement weather and dangerous driving conditions, especially this time of year. All right, camping information. Basically, same thing as last week. If you're camping this week or thinking of camping this week, good luck. The cold temperatures are going to be so brutal. Unless you are experienced in winter camping in the Rocky Mountains and have all the needed gear, don't try to camp this week. There's enough amenities in Mammoth and Gardner that you should be able to find someplace much warmer. If not, you can come up to Livingston and there's plenty of hotels. The wildlife watching update. It was a pretty slow start to the week, but the action picked up midweek and it might continue through the weekend, especially with the cold. There might be a little more desperation by some of the more active hunters. And by that, I don't mean people with guns, I mean wolves. So wolves have been active from Hell Roaring to Slough Creek. Coyotes have been all over the place. And the moose have still been hanging out around Pebble Creek. Now, obviously, this may and will change at any time, but it's good to know that wolves have been spotted and there's a decent chance for moose sightings. In fact, the wolf sightings yesterday were very good right from the Tower Junction area. There were 5 wolves visible and it got to be so popular of a wolf watching spot, even being in the winter, that rangers came and had to clear space for the wolves to cross the road. Again, if you're watching wildlife, don't follow the wildlife down to each pullout. You're going to see tour guides doing this with their groups. It is a frowned upon behavior by a lot of people and it creates more stress on the animals. So watch the animal from where you can and then let it go away. Now, as far as elk and bison sightings go, as of Tuesday, most of the bison have been spotted between Slough Creek and Mammoth. A few were out in Lamar, but most of the bison in the Northern Range are moving toward the lower elevations where grass is a little easier to find. Elk have been doing the same thing, and I spotted a few small herds of elk between Tower and Mammoth earlier in the week, but the most amount of elk I saw were up toward Paradise Valley. As you leave Gardner heading to Livingston, there were a few large herds of elk, a decent smattering of pronghorn, and about a dozen golden and bald eagles and trees. So if you're wanting to see eagles, that's definitely your place to go to, is just outside the park. Back in the park, I did see a few bighorn sheep near the Yellowstone River picnic area, but they've been pretty hit and miss. All right, hiking news and updates. This is the time of the year where there's not a lot to report on trails in the park. Being winter and all, you'll need snowshoes or cross-country skis to do pretty much any outside activity. If you are walking the boardwalks at Mammoth, use traction devices. Earlier this week, I watched a Xanterra tour bus unload near Liberty Cap at the lower Mammoth area, and half the clients fell in the snow and ice within 10 feet of the bus. Luckily, nobody was hurt, but know that going into the area and that the upper boardwalk area is usually even a little more dicey. So speaking of hiking, that brings us to the Trek of the Week. This week, I am recommending the Slough Creek Road. So you can go up to 5 miles round trip with about 250 feet elevation gain. You will need trekking poles, snowshoes, cross-country skis, all of those things to feel comfortable and safe. All right, so I'm going to read a description of the hike to you. If you aren't interested, just hit skip a couple of times and you'll get to the next section. So the Slough Creek Road in winter is easily a top 3 easy winter adventure. It offers sweeping views of the region's landscape. You'll have potential for incredible wildlife watching. and an opportunity to experience the elements of Yellowstone's outdoors firsthand. If you are looking for a fun adventure, you should not skip this. So, located just before passing through the narrow canyon along the Lamar River, Slough Creek is currently one of the best spots in Yellowstone to spot wolves. Over the last few years, one of the wolf packs in Yellowstone has been denning in the region during the spring months and dazzling wildlife watchers. In the winter, wolves, bison, coyotes, foxes, elk, and even occasional moose can be spotted in this region. No matter what the month, though, Slough Creek is worth a stop and the adventure. But we're talking about winter, so this is what it's like during the winter. The dirt road leading to Slough Creek is closed to vehicles during this time, and it turns the wide path into an ideal place to wander the cold temperatures and windswept snow. Please park in the appropriate spots around the pit toilets. Do not park in the spots in front of the toilets or block the gate if you plan to hike. There are pullouts nearby along the road that should be used. They may or may not be plowed. It's kind of a crapshoot. Once parked, make your way to the gate and walk around it. The path's very easy to follow. You meander down towards Slough Creek alongside the flank of Bison Peak. You more than likely see some other human tracks, be it from snowshoes or cross-country skiers. If you do see other tracks, never walk on the cross-country ski path, like ever. That just makes everything really hard. There is an argument that bison don't follow that, but like, bison don't really recognize that. We can and do, so stay in the right or left side of the trail to limit your impact on other people's good day. There's plenty of room. The trail will roll in elevation a bit, but for all intents and purposes, there's only one hill that you descend on the trek right away, and that's about a half mile from the parking area. You drop down that, you'll have to walk back up it at the end, but it's the only hill. And once the hill has been descended, the path will head towards Slough Creek. Along the way, stop and scan for animals directly where you are looking as you're heading down the hill. Nearly every winter trek along the Slough Creek Road, I've seen bison and coyotes. Oftentimes, I do see the wolves out there too. Just under 1 mile from the gate and pit toilets where you've parked, you'll have a chance to leave the road to pull out and walk out to a fantastic view of Slough Creek. If you can do that, this area is great because you can see eagles. I've also watched wolves on the hills to the north. It's also a good place to stop and scan for a while, or a decent spot to turn back if you're just wanting a short day. If you choose to turn around, like, don't worry about it. You've completed a 2 mile trek in Yellowstone looking at Slough Creek. Not a lot of people do that. If you want to keep going, keep going. From here, animal tracks in the snow start to increase, allowing you to see where coyotes have been hunting, where wolves have been roving, and where bison roam. I know, that's a lot of weird descriptions, right? You also have a high chance of encountering bison along this path between here and the campground. If you do encounter a bison, do not approach them. You'll have to get off the trail and walk around them. It's going to be less than ideal. It will not be fun. But do not walk toward them. If they walk toward you, don't stay where you are. A lot of people think, oh, the animal's moving toward me, it's okay. No. If an animal approaches you, any animal, maintain safe distances. That is 25 yards with bison. Move away, go off the trail. If it's a struggle, it's a struggle. That's just what happens when you get out in the wilds of Yellowstone. So be on the pullout where you'll have an option to turn around. The next mile of the trail is really pretty, actually. I like scanning the rocks on the right side as you're hiking in. Occasional creek views will emerge on your left. But like I said, that Bison Peak side on your right is where I've seen all sorts of animals. So keep an eye out and stop and scan and listen. So at just under 2 miles, the path takes a left at the Slough Creek trailhead. There's some super serious adventurers that may want to go, if they have proper gear, up into that trail. It is awesome if you can, but again, it is a way more serious day than just walking the road. So if you want to do that, reach out to me. I will help you out and tell you what you need to know. So everyone else should just stay on the road to the outbuildings and the second gate. At the gate, walk around it and continue to the campground. This section of the path will narrow and animal prints in the snow should increase even more. Once at the campground, walk up the creek a little bit. Like, you'll get to the campground and there'll be a pit toilet that will be closed at the end of the road and picnic area. But if you go up that a little bit, you're going to have some pretty cool isolation and a really nice frozen creek view. You'll also probably see some coyote tracks walking across, maybe in some bison tracks on the frozen creek. After you've had your fill of the view near the campground, turn around and go back the way you came. It's definitely cool, and you'll enjoy it. Then once you're back on the main road past the other Slough Creek Trail, just walk back to the parking area, stop and scan, look for tracks, and definitely just enjoy the sights and sounds and being out. Because while it is only a 5-mile round trip trek, it's a really cool moment, and I've had some of my deeper thoughts and just fun times out on this very simple path. All right, so if you don't want to do that on your own, book a hiking tour. And if you'd rather hike the trails of Yellowstone with a knowledgeable expert, I offer private hiking guide services and would be more than happy to have you come out on a great adventure into some wild spots that you may not see. I also provide snowshoes, so if you are wanting to learn how to snowshoe and get started in your winter activities, do it. Contact me directly. You can also check out my current guided hiking options at outdoor-society.com. If you're on that website, you'll also see a tab at the top that says guidebooks. You could pick up a guidebook if you like this information and want even more. I have a wildlife watching guidebook and a hiking guidebook to the region available at that store. Both ebook and paperback copies are available, and once again, that is outdoor-society.com. And with that, that basically concludes the This Week in Yellowstone for this week. I will be back next week with brand new information. Also, keep an eye out. There will be a new episode dropping in a few days going into the weeds of visitation statistics for Yellowstone in 2024. So if you enjoy hearing numbers, give that one a listen. All right. You'll hear me next week. Bye. This Week in Yellowstone is brought to you by the Outdoor Society, because that's my company, and that's where this is hosted. There are no sponsors, there's no ad breaks, this is a labor of love, so thank you all for listening. Copyright 2025, baby!